audios, go to www.wordchurch.biz. That's B-I-Z.
Well, we're glad to see everyone here tonight. We're going to talk about the scriptures a little bit. Then we can do some more praying. We've already prayed for people. And the Lord tells us to pray for one another that they might be healed or that you might be healed. So when we pray for others, there's healing that comes to us. Tonight, I want to look at a few things in the scriptures about the way things ought to be, the way things God intended for them to be, and see how we fit into His plan. So let's just start from the first verse of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Scripture says, In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, God created the heavens and the earth. He is the Creator. And we know that in the New Testament, it talks about Jesus Christ being a part of that creation. Not one thing was made without Him. That He was involved in all of the creation. So that through Jesus Christ, everything came into being. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So the heavens and the earth, they belong to Him. Originally, He made them. And He had a plan for them. The earth, especially. That the earth would be given to man. And that he would have authority to rule in God's place. That in His name and in His authority. So let's look at what God said to the man after He created him. Chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So here, God is passing on His authority that was supposed to be over His creation. You see, God loved His creation just like He loved us, like He loves you. And if He lost something that was very valuable, you think He would go search and seek and see if He could find it? We're going to find out. So God created man in His own image, verse 27. In the image of God He created him, male and female He created them. Then, okay, this is the first time I think these two verses, 26 through 28, God spoke a blessing right here upon His creation. And He says, God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth." So we see that God gave him full authority to be blessed with His blessing so that he was able to be in God's image. He would be able to do the things in God's place, God's name. In other words, it says later that He named all the animals. He had authority, and He was placed in this special garden, a special place where everything grew, and everything was blessed, and it was like paradise. And so we see here a heaven on earth. We see like what is in heaven is on earth right now. What is in heaven is on earth in Genesis chapter 1. But by Genesis chapter 3 we see that man is tempted to give away that which God gave him. It says he disobeyed the Lord. And God said, if you do that, you will surely die. So what died? His relationship with God. When he sinned, when Adam sinned, his relationship with God was separated. He no longer had connection to the Lord. He no longer was able to walk in the cool of the day and just say, "Hello, God. Hi, Jesus. Hi, Holy Spirit. It's a nice day, isn't it?" But he no longer had that communion. And that was broken. So we see that things began to go into an uproar, and instead of a blessing that they were supposed to operate in, now God said the garden will be cursed. And from now on he has to work from the sweat of his brow. So we see a picture of something that God created and is very precious. But then it was lost. It was given over to the tempter. And God had a plan. God continued to have a plan. In other words, this situation did not throw him off of his plan. His plan is good and solid from the very beginning to the ending. And just because there's a detour along the way, this was a detour for what God wanted, a final outcome. He wanted man to be blessed. That's the idea that God had from the very beginning. He created man and woman, and he blessed them and told them to be fruitful and multiply. Now, there's a lot of things we could talk about and think about when you're talking about being fruitful and multiply. I mean, later we learn about the fruit of the Spirit. There is that fruit that comes from God. Fruit of the Holy Spirit comes from God, and that fruit is what God wanted for man to bear, to be like in His image. Look at verse 8 of chapter 3. "And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord said, 'Adam, where are you?' And he said, 'I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.'" So immediately there is fear that comes into the human race at that point. Before that, there's no fear. Only faith, love, hope, those three were evident already. And the authority, I think, that was given to them included some things that we don't know about or don't understand, but I think we could talk about it. To have authority over the creation, not only did they name the animals, but they were able to have authority over any kind of storms or any kind of evil that would come against it. No weeds in the garden. No thorns in the garden. No curses around. Nothing but blessing. But later we see, when man fell from his position with God, he tried to hide himself because he knew that he was exposed. And he knew that he had sinned. So God began to look for him and said, "Where are you?" God's plan was to be with His creation, and that there would be love shared between them. But because of this situation in the garden, we see that love disappeared from the man's perspective, and he was afraid. Fear is the opposite of belief or faith. Fear is the opposite of love. When we fear God, or we're afraid of something, we're not in perfect love. The Bible says perfect love casts out all fear. Perfect love. So now let's look at Titus chapter 2. In the New Testament, Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. You see, Jesus Christ came to earth for the reason of saving, redeeming, and purchasing the lost so that they could be found and brought into right relationship. Titus chapter 2, let's start at verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. So he's talking about the salvation of God has appeared through Jesus Christ, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us, from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. This is God's desire. This is God's desire to have a special people. All the way back in the Old Testament, he said, He said to Israel, you shall be my special people. I'm looking for people who will love me and follow me and walk with me and live for me. And you will be a special people. But here he says it. Paul says it to Titus. Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. First he gave himself up as a sacrifice, as a payment, as a ransom for those who were lost. Redeem us from every lawless deed, from all the sinfulness that entered the human race. Jesus has redeemed by his death on the cross, his burial and his resurrection to be seated at the right hand of God. Through that process, we see that sin died when he died, but we were raised up when he was raised up. So God had a plan from the beginning to redeem, to purchase, to buy back that which is lost. Jesus said it this way. He said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. To seek and to save that which is lost. This is really God's whole idea and plan as far as sending his Son, that he would bring all things into consummation through his Son, and everything would be brought under the headship and the lordship of God himself. Jesus came and redeemed mankind, and then he presents the whole thing to God and said, here are the ones that you gave me. Like in John 17 when he prayed, Lord, here are the ones that you gave me, and I have kept them. And so he presents them to the Father, just like he presents you and you and you and me and all of these that believe in him. That all things will be consummated together at the Lamb's victory dinner as we all come before God and we celebrate what God has done through Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself. Purify for himself. His own special people, zealous for good works. Zealous for good works. Turn over to first letter of Peter, and chapter 2, verse 9. This is really a quote from Leviticus, or Exodus, where he says in verse 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I see some things here. Chosen generation. One chosen for his purpose. Are you chosen here tonight? by the Lord Himself? Do you know that He has chosen you? And all those who are listening on the internet, you need to know that Jesus Christ has chosen you to be a part of His special people, to be a part of His family, to be a part of what He is doing on the earth. You know, I'm sure the fishermen thought they had a good occupation when Jesus came and called them. They made a living, I suppose. At least they had food to eat because they caught fish. But their job was too small. When they got connected to Jesus and Jesus said, "Come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I will make you a fisher of people." All of a sudden their job got big and wide and the whole world was part of it. And Jesus even told us when He left that He said, "I'm going to the Father and I'm sending the Holy Spirit. Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations." All the world? All nations? That's what this is about. Amen. This is about the chosen generation that stands up and rises up and says yes to the Lord. Yes, Jesus. I want to follow you. Yes, I want to be a fisher of men and women to bring them to the knowledge of this redeeming Savior. Jesus came to save us. And we are a holy nation, His own special people, that you may now proclaim His praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now you're the people of light. You are people of light. And He has called you out of the kingdom of darkness now into the kingdom of His dear Son, which is the kingdom of light. We were just discussing earlier how some people cannot see the thing, the true things that are happening on earth in these days. And that where God is at work, there's also another spirit that's at work in the earth. And how many people are not able to see what's happening to their lives and to the nation around them. And it's all because they're not walking in the light. If you're walking in darkness, you cannot see because it's too dark. But when you have the light turned on, then you're able to get sight that brings the truth into you. And you're able to share it with others. And Jesus said, "Be the light. Don't just speak about it. Be the light. Be a city set on a hill so that all who go by will see that city on a hill that shines with the light of Jesus Christ." Amen. You are living stones. This is verse 5. Are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Living stones. When you build a house, you put stone upon stone or brick upon brick. But here He says you're building a spiritual house. A spiritual house that is alive, has lively stones. So we are lively people being put together in a body of Christ to build up this edifice or this church. The church is not the building out there. The church is the building in here. Spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Well, this is it. We are this spiritual house that God has proclaimed that we should be. Special people, and God has come to redeem us from the curse of the law. Let's look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Galatians 3, verse 13. says Christ has redeemed us. There it is again, redeemed. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. That, verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Wow. Curse came on the earth, and man had lost relationship, but all of a sudden, when Jesus Christ came, he was the one who redeemed us back to the Father. And he says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I've come to show you the Father. And he came to give us a relationship with God. He redeemed us from the curse that was against us. Against us. Sometimes in life, we seem to feel that everything's going against us. Sometimes it's very difficult. Like someone called it swimming in peanut butter. Because you're unable to really move. Sometimes things don't seem to go the way we think they should. And so it's almost like this curse is coming against us on a daily basis. But I want to tell you how things should be. Things should be that we are pushing back the curse. We need to be pushing back the curse because we are the blessing, the blessed ones. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Two things there you get. You get the blessing of God through Abraham and Jesus Christ, and that you get the promise of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit has been poured out on our behalf. We need to be pushing the curse back. We need to proclaim the blessing of God. And here Jesus Christ became the curse. So no longer do we need to be involved with it. We need Him in our lives, totally controlling and leading us in the right way. Having become a curse for us, having become a curse for us, so no longer so that we may inherit the blessing of Abraham. Now, what is the blessing that we're talking about? We're talking about not just being saved, but we're talking about being joined back together with God forever. We sang the song earlier, forever. Forever we'll be together. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. And God's love has sought us and you and everyone else that's having their hearts open and their eyes open to see what God has for those who are His. Those who call upon His name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So Jesus gave us His power, because just like God told Adam in the Garden of Eden, use my name, give names to the animals, subdue the earth, take authority over all things. Just like that, Jesus then tells His disciples before He leaves, He says, go in my name. What? Go in His name. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. Do the ministry, do the work. That the work of light and righteousness is involved in the world. So we're to do God's work. And Jesus chose 70 disciples and sent them out. Luke chapter 10, let's look over there. Luke chapter 10, what time is it? 9 o'clock. Luke chapter 10, look at verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also, and sent them two by two before His face into every city and place where He Himself was about to go. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. Look at verse 9. And heal the sick there, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. So we see that they're supposed to do something. They're supposed to heal the sick and tell them that the kingdom of God is at hand. Then they come back after ministry, and in verse 17, the 70 return with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. In your name, in Jesus' name, the demons are subject. Jesus said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. We need to claim that scripture tonight. Nothing shall by any means hurt you, because God has redeemed you and His blood protects you. And go read Psalm 91. After a time you will receive release from any fears of all the negative things that come against us in this world. Jesus says, in my name, demons are subject to you. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven, and I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. So here Jesus is giving his authority to his disciples and restoring the things that he had from the very beginning. He created the heavens and the earth. He created the Garden of Eden. He created the human beings. And he said they are to be his special people on the earth, and to be fruitful and to multiply. So anyway, here we see that he sends out disciples. And this was not the 12, original 12. These were 70 more. They went out and they did the works in Jesus' name. So this is the kind of authority that we have now. We push back the curse that seems to be coming at us from various places in the world. The curse comes in various ways. But the blessing will push it back. The blessing of God in your life is going to put at bay those things which are trying to destroy. What did Jesus say in John 10:10? The thief comes but to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. To have an abundant life, Jesus came for that purpose. Let's look at 1 John 3 and read verse 8. 1 John 3 and verse 8. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. What does your NIV say, Dana?
You were 3:8?
1 John.
Peter,
okay, one more book.
First John 3:8.
Read it loud.
He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil's been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work.
Okay, so I'm reading New King James. It says, For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. In other words, he came to earth for this purpose. What?
To destroy
the works of the devil. So we're no longer a part of the works of the devil. We are part of the works of Jesus, which is holiness, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. This is the kingdom of God. And we're a part of the special people that God has raised up in these days. You have to know that you're a child of God. And you represent Him. You represent Him wherever you go, and what you do is given special power through His name and through His power of the Holy Spirit, that you go forth and do His work. These works shall you do, and even greater works shall you do, because I go to the Father. That's what He told them in John 14. He said that He wanted us to do even greater works. Why? Because the Spirit was poured out on all flesh. The Spirit was poured out upon every believer that asked for Him to be poured out, that they would receive power from on high. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. That the church was raised up in power. Things happened because God came to earth and breathed upon the believers and set them on fire and sent the Holy Spirit, poured it out on all flesh, He said He will do in the last days. These are the last days, enough that God is pouring out His Spirit continually. Sometimes in great measure, sometimes in smaller. But we can get into that river, cross that river, get deep enough in the river where we cannot swim. And that's what He's talking about, getting into the Holy Spirit in a deep way so that you're unable to do your own will. You're unable to do your own works. You're unable to work the works of the flesh. You're only going to do the things of the Spirit. That's where we need to be. That's what He said in Romans 8. Wow. Romans 8 is so clear. Verse 5. Romans 8, 5 says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit is not His. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin." So He's talking about being a part of spiritually minded or carnally minded according to this earthly way. Spiritually minded is much better, much greater, because it has the life of God in it. The other is the way of the world. The ways of the world. What does 1 John say? "Love not the things of the world, neither the things in it, for the things of this world are passing away, but the things from the Spirit are going to live on eternally." So tonight I just make an appeal that we understand what God's desire was. As a father who lost children, would you be out seeking them to find them, to love them, and to give them all that you have? Most of us, all of us would. But God is the one who lost His creation for a time, but the time is now returned where those things have been bought back. And the Bible teaches and shows us many places that it says, "You shall be returned a double portion for that which you lost." God has lost sons and daughters, but He's gained back many more through Jesus Christ because they love Him. They love God. They love Jesus. And Jesus, they know, loves them. If you know that, then just call upon His name tonight and ask Him to really be your guard, your guide, your bulwark, your strong rock to hold you against all evil in the nighttime and in the daytime. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, that your word is true. I thank you, Lord, that your plan is for our good. Your plan was sent out from before the foundation of the world, that Jesus Christ was crucified before you even created Adam and Eve. That's amazing for us to even think about. So, Lord, I pray, Father, that you would open our hearts and minds tonight to recognize that your plan is being fulfilled now. That those who have seen the Messiah have rejoiced and they called on him. And he has come to save them in the nick of time, to deliver them, for our lives are short here. But now, Lord, we have eternal life through Jesus Christ. And we just want to thank you and praise you. Thank you, Lord, so much for giving us your eternal salvation, the washing and the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. Cleanse our hearts and lives and make us new, we pray. And protect our families and protect our grandchildren, our children and grandchildren, and many others, Lord, that are related and those that we care about. I pray, Lord, as I read this scripture in closing, I want you to protect each and every one of us. So I'm going to read Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen.